I have these sacred weekends. Nobody schedules over them, and they just say hunting on them. Let's celebrate the recovery of that amazing species and return the management back to the state of Montana like we did with wolves years ago. I want to make sure I bring the voice of common sense and reason that Montanans have to that discussion here in Washington. This is U.S. Senator Steve Daines from the great state of Montana, and you're listening to the Wild Initiative.
Put down your latte and pull on your boots.
I've been blessed to harvest 22 of the 29 North American animals with my bow.
My personal 24-hour record for death threats is 88.
They will start putting two and two together and realize this is how you call bulls in.
So when I go hunting now, that's the ethos I take with me. You know, whatever this hunter's going to throw at you, you pull your big girl pants up and you get on with it.
Giant bucks are freaking awesome. They're beautiful. But you know what? I would not trade this first buck for anything in the world.
So I'm a geek. Magicians and dragons and magic swords. I kid you not, man. I'm the biggest dork in the gun business.
I'm Freddie Hartice, Hollywood Hunter.
This is Aaron Snyder.
Hey, this is Trevin Stoltzfus with Outback Outdoors.
This is Rihanna Carey.
Hi, this is John Sloan of the Interviews with the Hunting Masters.
You're listening to The Wild Initiative.
Hey, y'all, welcome to another episode of The Wild Initiative, brought to you as part of the Waypoint Podcast Network.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Y'all, I've got him back on. I'm super excited to have the one and only Senator Steve Daines of our great state of Montana here on the line with me. Senator, thank you so much for joining me again.
Hey, Sam, I've been looking forward to this. Thanks for having me on.
You know, we got, I'm really glad we were able to get you on because, you know, we kind of had to cut it early a little bit last time, you know, never get to rest over there. So got called off to a vote. But, you know, first and foremost, you know, we're just coming off of archery season now. And I think just this last weekend, we kicked off rifle here in Montana. So first and foremost, before we hop on to anything else, I want to know how your season has been so far.
Well, remember, we kicked off rifle just last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But two Saturdays before, we kicked off rifle for antelope. And yep. We have for nearly 20 years, we put in for the 700 district, which is Eastern Montana. And it was one of the first years where we didn't draw very well as a family. I normally always get my antelope tag. I didn't draw. My daughter didn't draw. My son-in-law didn't draw. But wife drew. My wife, Cindy, drew. So it was all hands on deck to be glassing for Cindy. So we went out opening day. And for those who are hunting antelope in Montana, if you were out in the eastern side of the state, we had rain. We even had some snow in the southeast part of the state. We hunt between Forsyth and Roundup. And we had a great hunt. And my sweetheart made a great 318-yard shot. We had a good prone, at least she was laying down. Good prone shot, bipod down, and got some pricklies in her knee. I mean, it was all in, right? You got to get some pricklies in your knees if you're doing a real antelope hunt. And she made a great shot and got a nice little buck.
That is fantastic. Yeah, I've unfortunately, because we were just talking right before this, I just moved. I made the smart decision to move right in the middle of archery season. And so I've been out a whole one time, but I'm really counting on rifle season this year too.
Yeah, well, you know, I typically for deer and elk, I like to get out a little later in the season. I like to get out any time, but I have to prioritize my calendar because, you know, people want to schedule mm-hmm. things at different times. But my team knows here in Washington, my scheduler, I have these sacred weekends. Nobody schedules over them, and they just say hunting on them. And we're going to be headed out. I like to hunt for muleys and sometimes whiteys there in the middle of November when the ruts start to kick in. And then the elk hunting, usually we kick it in as the snow comes a bit to get those elk moving down our way. So usually the November, the back half of November is usually my elk season.
Yep. I've definitely got to learn the new area, figure out where the public land is, where the hunting is around here. That's my kind of new adventure as I'm up in this part of the state.
Well, you're in a great part of the state, Sam, as we were talking a bit earlier. When I was going to school at Montana State a long time ago, my study partner, I was studying chemical engineering, and he was a year ahead of me in college, but he was from Havre. And so he ended up being the best man in our wedding. So I have a lot of great memories of that part of our state. My great-great-grandma homesteaded east of Conrad, which is a bit away from there, but it's kind mm-hmm. of that general part of Montana, which is still the real Montana, which is kind of getting harder to find sometimes in parts of our state.
It's, you know, my chance to kind of run around the town here and get to know a few people has just been an absolutely amazing. And, you know, I love being in the Gallatin Valley. It's beautiful there. You have so much access to everything there. But as we all know, it's getting a bit crowded down there and a bit expensive.
Expensive, I think, is an understatement, Sam. Bozeman's been my home since 1964. So I was a year old. My folks moved back to Montana. My folks grew up in Montana and they moved back when I was a year old. So I went to kindergarten through high school and college there in Bozeman. So I've watched that market. And boy, Sam, it's getting pretty spendy, whether you're renting or trying to buy.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not one to I'm one of the guilty ones, one of the Californians coming out to visit. But I have officially, I feel like, adopted Montana and fallen in love with this absolute great state. It's the best place on earth, as far as I'm concerned.
Well Sam, I got to tell you, and for those who are listening, because we've got a lot of new Montana residents. And I just, my view is we welcome the new folks moving into Montana. We just don't want them to change it. Just keep it, you know, we want to preserve and protect what we have that's made this place so special. And I also, we want to encourage more hunters. You know, we need to continue to expand, you know, that sport, because as you know, the numbers are actually declining, not going up, and getting those, you know, next generation passionate about hunting and fishing.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's so important, is that we have something so valuable out here, and that people that come out to experience that, make sure you act in a way that's in accordance with that and preserves that. I think that's critical for everyone, all of us, to remember wherever we go.
It really is. And, you know, we're seeing, you know, some of the larger ranches are starting to transfer ownership that might have been generationally in a Montana family. We're seeing some out-of-staters come in and buy some of our large ranches. And, you know, my hope and prayer is that they will, you know, they'll keep the Montana handshake going forward here, which is, you know, allowing access to responsible hunters, because we're going to have to manage our game populations. We're seeing more of these shoulder seasons on elk mm-hmm. because we need to be taking more elk in most places across our state.
Well, and that's one of the amazing things about Montana is our extended seasons too, and those shoulder seasons. Because effectively, we can hunt elk in certain places from beginning of September all the way through, I think, February at some points.
Yeah, my son and I killed cows on the shoulder season here a couple of years ago, and I mean, it was It was Christmas Eve morning. It just doesn't seem right. You're shooting a cow elk on Christmas Eve morning. Another night, it was literally on New Year's Eve with the shoulder seasons. And I can tell you, it's one of the coldest guts I've ever done. Your hands are awfully cold there. By the time we got done dressing that elk out, my hands were real cold.
I was going to say, that's how you lose a finger and don't even realize until you're halfway back packing out.
I know. Oh, when I've got my sharp Havilon there, getting in there, when I'm going for inside, you can lose a finger pretty fast, even when it's warm out, with how sharp those things are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm excited to get out, see this area, get some later season hunting in. And
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
The last time we chatted, we talked a little bit about your vision for Montana and moving forward. And a lot's happened. And I think we talked back in March, and has happened since then. We originally talked about Halland for the, the Secretary of the Department of the Interior. Mm-hmm. But, a lot of other stuff has come up. You've been fighting for us as Montanans and for sportsmen and outdoorsmen across the United States. We've had Tracy Stone Manning come up to lead the BLM. And you fought for us against her nomination. And, there's lots of other issues, and whether it's grizzly delisting, whether it's forest management, whether it's opening the Canadian border, or even just the congestion in our national parks. What are some of these issues that you really see facing sportsmen in the U.S. and especially Montanans?
Yeah, well, I like to always bring it back home to the state that we love so much, Montana. What I'm hearing from Montanans, because at the end of the day, it's Montana who sent me back here, and that's who my ears are tuned into. But a couple of issues he's brought up there that we're passionate about at the moment, certainly on forest management. We saw what happened this past summer, Sam, with we had drought, we had high temperatures, and we just saw a lot of smoke in Montana throughout most of the summer. And so we've got to do a much better job of stopping some of these serial far left environmental groups who are litigating a lot of our common sense timber thinning projects. Because we're in the Ninth Circuit Court, which of course is it's a California court, they're out of touch with where most Montanans are. They tend to side with these extreme groups, and they litigate and stop these timber management projects, which are good for wildlife. You thin the forest, you get better grass growth on the forest floor for elk and deer. It helps protect the watersheds from catastrophic wildfires. It helps create jobs in a lot of our counties that are struggling. Lastly, of course, is it reduces the risk of catastrophic wildfires. So we've been fighting on that good fight, Sam, for Montanans. And then on grizzly bears, boy, it just seems like that problem is just getting worse and worse. Talk to the bow hunters just come out of the field here in the last month or so. Boy, we've just had more grizzly encounters. The good news is the bears have recovered. We're well above the recovery targets. Let's celebrate the recovery of that amazing species and return the management back to the state of Montana like we did with wolves years ago.
I think it's so critical because at this point, it almost seems like, well, hunting season in Montana hasn't started until you hear about the first grizzly attack. It's insane the number of encounters we're having nowadays. And as you said, the numbers have recovered. Now let's actually manage these species in a wise fashion, like we've done with so many other animals.
Well, I tell you, Sam, I have a lot more confidence in the people of Montana managing these species than I do the feds. And I remember as a kid growing up, our grizzly populations, they were a lot smaller, less than a couple hundred. You know, now in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem, we're north of 750 bears and the recovery target's 500. So we're way over it. And then you look on the Continental Divide there along the Rocky Mountain front there, the Bob, we're way over targets, well over 1,000 bears. And it's the right thing to do for the bears, to manage them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the right thing to do, of course, for the people of Montana, because we're going to have more and more conflicts. Let's celebrate the fact the bears have recovered and let the state of Montana manage that species.
Well, and, you know, we see it because those bears are going to die one way or the other. Let's face it, whether it's through lack of food, through encounters with human beings, where fish and game ends up having to put them down for one way or another, whether it's disease, overpopulation, none of that. These bears don't die in peaceful, happy ways like people seem to think they do. So if we were able to open that up, if we were able to hunt them, harvest them ethically and humanely, then, you know, it would make a huge difference for our wildlife.
Well, you know, you think about, and I agree with that, Sam, that one of our top economic drivers in Montana is agriculture. And you look at the predation losses we see with our livestock producers. It's grizzly bears. It used to be wolves, but it's grizzly bears now, the number one predation loss for our livestock producers. And you look at the human safety challenge we face. You talk to families that live along the Rocky Mountain front, just to the west of Great Falls and that Augusta, Shoto, Bynum area and so forth. Boy, you know, they can't let their kids walk to the bus stop. They have to literally put them in the pickup and drive them up because of grizzly bears. And you know, you've got a situation where parents aren't sleeping well at night because they're worried about the safety mm-hmm. of their families, their livestock. And that's why something's got to give here. There's just a lot of bears and it's time to delist them. They're well over the targets. Let the science drive that conversation, not you know, politics of folks back here in DC who are out of touch with what's going on the ground in Montana.
Well, I think every argument we make when it comes to hunting in this fashion is let the science decide. Let the people who study this have invested their lives into this make these decisions, not emotions, not politicians trying to make a statement. I think that is so critical in all the decisions we make when it comes to the outdoors and hunting and fishing.
Sam, I couldn't agree more. And and that's why I want to make sure I bring the voice of common sense and reason that Montanans have to that discussion here in Washington. And you know what happens on these decisions, we're battling folks who live a long ways away from the West. They come from urban centers and they just don't understand how we as Montanans understand that balance. I mean, Montanans, I think it's wonderful. We've got this amazing apex predator, the grizzly bear. I mean, it's amazing. Right? Mm-hmm. It's a symbol of strength. Lewis and Clark wrote about them when they came out. But you've got to manage the species. Let's celebrate the recovery and let the state of Montana manage them.
Absolutely. And so I know we're limited on time here. So I kind of want to wind down just with maybe some final thoughts on just your vision for Montana, you know, moving into this next year. You know, we're nearing the end of the year. What are you excited about? What do you see for Montana in 2022?
Well, I think our future in Montana is really bright. You know, we've got our challenges. We talked about it, the cost of living, energy prices going up, housing prices going up. And, you know, most Montanans, they're battling, maybe living on a fixed income or limited income resources. And so we know we have some challenges. But I tell you, I mean, our state's been discovered and there's a reason because it's such an amazing place. You know, they talk about winning the birth lottery. You know, I'm glad when I picked my great, great grandma when she homesteaded out there in Montana. I didn't get to pick her. She picked Montana, not me. And I'm just grateful that we get to call Montana, whether you were born and raised there or moved there, it's home. It's a really special place. You know, Cindy and I, we backpacked 41 miles in the Beartooth Wilderness in late August and then up around Labor Day, up in the high country lakes. We got up to the highest fishery in the state of Montana, over 10,800 feet. And as long as my knees keep working, my lungs keep working, and I can still carry a pack, I'm going to keep doing it. And it's why we love to call Montana home. And so it's important we fight to protect that. and also ensure we've got access and we have got common sense in managing this amazing gift we've all been given here, which is our public lands in Montana.
Awesome. Well, Senator Daines, I really appreciate you taking the time. Excited to have you back on here and looking forward to maybe connecting again next year.
Looking forward to it, Sam. Thanks for all you do as well to tell the story of Montana.
Absolutely. All right, y'all, that'll do it for this episode of The Wild Initiative. Make sure to check out the show notes page at thewildinitiative.com and get links to everything we talked about today's episode. Really just want to say thank you to Senator Daines for taking the time to hop on. He's a very busy guy, has a very limited schedule, and I just had a great time talking with him. Make sure y'all give him a follow on social and see all of his adventures with his family and everything he's doing for the great state of Montana. But y'all, that'll do it for this week. Looking forward to next time. But until then, I hope this episode inspired you to get involved, get outdoors, and plan your initiative for the wild.
Thank you for listening to The Wild Initiative. Please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. And head on over to thewildinitiative.com to get show notes, check out the blog, gear discounts, other podcasts from the Wild Initiative family, and more.